Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
You know your business better than anyone, so when you need finance to grow, you deserve a lender who understands too. Responsible finance providers look at the whole picture, the story behind the numbers, your plan and what you want to achieve. Our fair, flexible finance, decided by real people, not a computer, helps thousands of businesses every year. Find out more at findingfinance.org.uk. Finding Finance is a trading style of the Community Development Finance Association, which is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. A regulated credit broker and not a lender. We provide information only in respect of community development finance institutions and other finance providers, which may be available to you from our approved panel of lenders. Finding Finance. .org.uk.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Thank goodness it's folk. Every Friday, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and worldwide at www.sheffieldlive.org.
Where the Dursleys are, follow.
300 miles from Darwin to Delhi, 300 miles from Australia's door, there's a tropical isle where the people can't smile anymore. On the shore. The Portuguese left as the carnation blossomed in Lisbon. The people at last saw the back of the clan Salazar. But out of the ashes of fascism and far Indonesia, a man named Suharto's arming his soldiers for war. Just 300 miles from Darwin to Delhi, 300 miles from Australia's door, there's a tropical isle where the people can't smile anymore. Blood on the shore. So Harto the heartless conscripted the landless, the peasants. A lovelier people on earth you have not seen before. He took them and turned them and trained them to kill without feeling. In frenzy his Javanese lava poured over Timor. Just 300 miles from Darwin to Delhi, 300 miles from Australia's door, there's a tropical isle where the people can't smile anymore. There's oil on the bed of the ocean and blood on the shore. The United Nations condemned the invasion illegal. The British, they armed the invader with weapons galore. So they came and they saw and they slaughtered men, women and children. They cried to their neighbours for help and the neighbours ignored. So shame on Great Britain and shame on America. Shame on the neighbours who heard through the wall the cries and the screams and the rape of a nation in thrall.
at all. They turned off the music, refusing to listen at all. Just 300 miles from Darwin to Delhi, 300 miles from Australia's door. There's a tropical isle where the people can't smile anymore. There's oil on the bed of the ocean and blood on the shore. Just 300 miles from Darwin to Delhi, 300 miles from Australia's door. There's a tropical isle where the people can't smile anymore. On the shore. Oh, there's oil on the bed of the ocean and blood on the shore.
Vin Garbutt there, the legendary Vin Garbutt, kicking off the second half of Thank Goodness It's Folk with their Darwin to Dilly, a song, a song just to reflect the times that we're in at the moment. We thought that they were gone, but they seem to be back at the minute. But yeah, just to reflect the times that we're in at the minute. Now then, I'm going to hand over to James for this next bit, as he has a chat with Kathy Tattersdale about the about this week's child ballad number 211, and after this, James is going to do a little tribute to Mick Darling who passed away on Monday. So for this next bit, I'll hand over to James.
Friday's Child.
Friday's Child, that's me.
A child ballad every Friday.
We're up to child ballad 211. It's called Buick and Graham. And Sam and I mentioned a long time ago that there would be certain ballads we reached in our long look at the child ballads and the recordings thereof that didn't have recordings we could play for you. And so we've been very fortunate to be joined by some very special guests over the years with new settings of child ballads for your pleasure. And Kathy Tattersfield is a Sheffield-based folk singer who has already contributed to the child ballad segment with a version of Crow and Pie, which would have been on the program a couple of years ago. And very excitingly, today's the day when we reach another ballad that Kathy has set for your listening pleasure and to continue the modern exploration of this ancient book of very interesting songs. This week's is called Buick and Graham. And without further ado, let's talk to Kathy Tattersfield, who you may know from the program as well because she released an album of songs called New Laid Eggs, featuring her friend Jess Arrowsmith. And we've played a couple of tracks from that album as well. But here's Kathy to talk about this week's child ballad. Well, it's been building up for both me and Kathy for the last several months. A few texts here and there saying we are rapidly approaching child ballad 211. When are we going to have a chat? And I'm glad to say, Kathy, that today is the day. Today is the day that we reach on Friday's child ballad 211. It's taken us, as you know, about 6 years to get to this point. It's extraordinary to me that Sam and I started this segment so long ago. But, you know, the child ballads is a big book and there are a lot of them. So you've been very patient waiting for your turn because you took the challenge that we issued a while ago to set tunes to child ballads that don't have many or any recorded. And we had you on the program before talking about Crow and Pie. You'll have to remind me and the listeners what number Crow and Pie was.
Oh, that was 111.
There you go. So you've patiently waited 100 weeks for this to come.
Well,
around.
Yes. Although You helped because you jumped a few, didn't you?
We have had to jump a few. That is true. Yes, including some of the more obscure child ballads related to Robin Hood, although I think, we're well past that now. Kathy, for those who haven't heard you on the program before, how did you get interested in the ballads and how did you come to be setting child ballads?
Oh, well, I think June Tabor has a lot to answer for in terms of the drama, hearing the drama in the ballads, because it's easy to moan about how long they are and how repetitive they are, but to hear her sing ballads, there's such drama in it. It totally captivates. So then when you were obviously saying there are ballads that have never been sung and putting out that challenge, that was my opportunity, because we can all have a go at singing what June Tabor sings and we'll fail in terms of the fact that she's already done it. But it's nice to think that we're treading new ground, and some of them aren't very nice, and many of them aren't very nice. However, some of them have interesting themes, even despite being slightly unpleasant.
Definitely, Kathy. And I think it's a really excellent point you make about having a go ourselves, because, you know, Sam and I make no bones about the fact that we love June Tabor's recordings, but they've been out there for a long time. And as such, if we are looking to kind of find new meaning in the child ballads, we need new writers and we need new interpreters to be getting involved. Otherwise, the work's already been done. And the book goes back on the shelf. So I think it's really critical that people like yourself, Marilla Holmes, John Looms, Nancy Kerr, many people have contributed. And Sam and I are just so grateful that people like you are taking the time to go back in and look for some of the stories, as you say, are not necessarily by modern standards particularly pleasant, but then the modern world is not particularly pleasant either. And there are echoes in old balladry of things that are going on today. And I think that's one of the things that you're interested in, is looking for stories that might be relatable now, but also people who heard Crow and Pie and people who've heard Nancy's Gilbrenton setting and others as well will know that the job of the modern ballad setter is not just to sing them straight off the page, but to do what people have always done with ballads, which is to make them relevant to themselves, to look at the text and realise that that was just one version that was set down in stone in Victorian times and doesn't necessarily represent the be-all and end-all of a story. How do you feel about that?
Absolutely. This is the case, especially with this one. So often they're just ballads about people who've got a grudge against each other and then somehow or other it's resolved. And I suppose some of the ballads haven't been sung because there wasn't a tune.
Yes.
I mean, one of the unique things about this one is that while it appeared to be rather a boring thing to do with yet another rivalry, there was a tune there. And then when I was reading through the 54 verses, I saw a theme that was slightly different in the sense that it has this notion of a brotherhood between two young men who really wanted to sacrifice themselves for each other. And this is the thing that the collector focused on, Walter Scott, he focused on that.
So if you could just give us a summary then of this story. Now, I know that you have looked at this ballad, and your initial reading of it was as Berwick and Graham. It's written as Bewick and Graham. It's an easy thing to have made that assumption, isn't it? Bewick and Berwick are very similar, but they are distinctly different places.
Yes, and that's a shame. When I sing it again, I will definitely say Bewick, because I have had comments on that. So.
That is the folk process, but I know that you will revert to Bewick you've done great work, and I guess it's just one of those things, isn't it? It's just the folk process. But
I made a mistake, absolutely. I hold my hand up for that one.
Yeah.
So the story essentially is two old border families, Sir Robert Bewick and Graham, and they get together and have a drink, but actually they're boasting about their own sons, and Bewick manages to needle Graham to the point where Graham moans at his own son's lack of skills, and Berwick has already said that the two of them shouldn't be good friends because of the lack of ability of Graham's son. So Graham tells his son that he's got to fight Bewick's son unless yes, and until he's done that, he won't be a proper son. And if he doesn't do it, Graham will challenge him to a fight anyway.
So he can't win.
No, exactly. So he's putting himself into an invidious position, and he's hit one of the critical verses. He's saying, well, if I kill my best friend and my brother-in-arms, if I kill him, then that's a sin. But if I kill my father, I'll never go to heaven. So in the end, he goes to see his best friend, brother, and tells Buick he's going to have to fight him. And the two of them debate this as to how this is invidious, but actually in the end they both feel they have to do it. But they both agree a pact that if one of them dies, the other will not live either.
Mm.
And it's that context, that discussion between the two of them, which I think is fascinating. I don't know, it's very endearing. It's a very passionate bit.
Yeah.
To the extent that I have had discussions with Jess Arrowsmith, who I work with, about whether it is an illustration of what we would now call a gay relationship.
Yeah.
You know? But clearly, we don't know. And clearly, obviously, it may even be a fictional encounter. I don't know enough about the borders to know whether these two characters were really existed.
Well, Kathy, it strikes me that even if it is a fictitious story, they were written for a reason. And like all allegories, there will be reasons behind these things. People are not writing such complex poetry at random, and there are reasons behind it. And I do think people were trying to often tell stories deeper than the surface. What do you think about that?
Yes, it's a way of expressing truths in a sort of safe space if it's fictional. But it's still a truth, isn't it?
I agree. So you went about finding this ballad. It's very old. You said it's probably originates in the late 1600s and then went into broadside form in the 1800s. The text that you tell us about, what text you're using?
Well, the published text is in a book that's quite well known. Sandra Kerr is very good at publicising it, The Northumbrian Minstrelsy. But that's the Scottish version, and I recognise the ludicrous nature of trying to sing something in a completely different accent. So I put it down, but then I idly searched, as I do, through the internet, and found an English broadside with exactly the same story, with the same layout, but it was with English words rather than Scottish words.
Yeah.
So I picked that up, and it fitted the tune that was already published. The broadside was just on the internet, with lovely woodblock illustrations, of course. And then I had to go about shortening it. I picked some verses based on the themes I was enjoying, and I ignored the verses which talked about sword technique and the repetitive verses. The English version was longer than the Scottish version, so I don't know whether that tells you that it was originally English.
Or perhaps it was that the broadsides were being sold by the sheet. The more you could put on them, the more sheets you could sell.
The term bully or billy is used to describe the endearment between the two young men. And I had to decide the English version is bully,
yes,
and the Scottish version is billy.
Yes.
And they date from the sort of 15th century, apparently. Mm. And Shakespeare used bully. But the trouble with using the word bully is that most people will only know of the negative interpretation.
Yeah.
And so I decided that despite using the English version of this song, I would use the Scottish word billy.
Yeah.
And that's a big decision. Other people disputed it at the time, but there we are.
Kathy, it is a fascinating story. It's on paper, when you first read it through, if you have the patience that you do in the modern world to read long ballads in Scottish and then in English like this, you do have to put some work in to find the stories, don't you? And you have to be prepared to, you know, stick it out. It's a job of patience partly, isn't it?
There needs to be a reason behind it, in the sense that you need to know that some good will come out of it, I suppose, once you've found one that other people haven't heard, and that you think it's worth them hearing it, you know.
Definitely.
So, I don't know whether I'll ever sing this live, though, I have to admit.
That's okay. Well, you've made a lovely recording of it, which you're about to hear in a moment. But before we do that, I'd like you to just tell people again, we have played some songs from your record, but if you could remind people about your album and how it ties in with your interest in reviving old songs and the fact that you have some concerts coming up, a launch concert, tell us about all of that.
So the album's called New Laid Egg, and it's on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
And it has about half of the songs are from Glostrad website, which is a fantastic archive of all the songs that you can find in or found were found in Gloucestershire, which is actually struggling at the moment. They would welcome some donations to keep it going.
Is there information about that on your Bandcamp site, Kathy?
You're right. There should be. It only came up this last couple of days, but they have a donate button on their own website.
Great.
So if anybody has ever used Glostrad, now's the time to feel guilty and press the donate button.
Excellent. Well, we'll try and put a link up to that on the Thank Goodness It's Folk Facebook page, as well as a link to your Bandcamp, so that people can follow that link and help out. And you're going to play in Gloucestershire, aren't you, with Jess Arrowsmith? Is that right?
I am this Thursday. I can't remember that. Oh, so it will have happened by the time you're listening to this.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Well,
I hope it went very well.
Yes, so do I. Yes, so do I. Most of the tickets have gone, so yeah, that's really
great.
Nice.
It's so lovely that you're working with Jess, isn't it, who you initially encountered through singing lessons, and she's been part of your singing journey as well. But you've become colleagues on stage. That's absolutely delightful, isn't it?
I know. It was such fun. You know, there's lots and lots of skills that I've learned through working with Jess. It means that we can share these songs more widely, and hopefully other people will sing them too.
Well, we're absolutely thrilled and honoured that this is the second Child Ballad. I feel like we should give you some kind of badge for this, but we haven't got any badges yet. But if we get a badge, I think Kathy Tattersfield definitely gets one, because this is the second Child Ballad that you've set for the Thank Goodness It's Folk feature. And we, Sam and I, are just so delighted that you've taken part. And more importantly, beyond our little programme, that you're contributing to the continuation of the interest in old ballads and old songs. And this one, Buick and Graham, you have found some real meaning and some fascinating storytelling within it. So thank you, and perhaps you could introduce it for our listeners.
So this is the ballad of Sir Robert Buick and Lord Graham.
Thank you, Kathy.
Old Graham, he has to Carlisle gone. Where's Robert Berwick? There met he, and drink till they were both merry. And home rode he right wantonly. Now I have been at Carlisle town, where Sir Robert Berwick there met me. He said, thou wast bad, and called thee a lad, and Billy to his son cannot be. You might have been called to bold brethren, wherever you do go or ride. You might have been called to bold brethren, you might have captured the border side, but Berwick's son can both write and read, and I bought thee books, but thou wouldst not read. So my blessings thou shalt never have, till I see with Berwick thou canst save thy head. Oh, pray forbear, my father dear, that ever such a thing should be. If thou do not end this quarrel, son, here is my glove, thou shalt fight with me. Nay, for to kill my brother dear, I think it were a deadly sin, but for to kill my father dear, the blessings of heaven I ne'er shall win. ¶¶ looked Bonnie Berwick towards the sun. Oh, welcome, welcome, my Billy Graham. Oh, man, thou art my dear, welcome. For I love thee best in Christendom. My father, he was in Carlisle town, where thy father Berwick there met he. The day is come that I ne'er thought on. I'm hither come to fight with thee. Oh, no, not so, my Billy Graham, that e'er such a word should spoken be. Shall I venture my body in field to fight with a man that's faith and truth to me? And if it be my fortune thee, Graham, to kill, as God's will, man, it all must be. And if it be my fortune thee, Graham, to kill, then home again I'll ne'er go. Thou art then of my mind, Billy Berwick, and sworn brethren we will be. If thou be a man, as I trow thou art, come over this ditch and fight with me. Now Graham struck Berwick under the left breast, and down to the ground as dead fell he. He struck his sword in a molehill, and upon his own sword leapt he. Now Graham he was the first that died, and then Sir Robert Berwick came to see. Arise, O son, he said, for I see thou'st won the victory. Father, could you not drink your wine at home, and let me and my Billy be? Now dig a grave both low and wide, and in it a stone pray bury.
Many of you will have heard about the passing in the last couple of days of Mick Darling. Mick Darling was a beloved member of the British traveller community, and along with his dear wife Susie, were beloved across the country for their humour, their amazing songwriting. Susie is a great writer of books, and with Mick was well loved on the music scene as well. Mick was a great songwriter. He made all sorts of things. He was a very gifted painter, craftsman. And Mick and Susie travelled Europe, not just England, in their pony-drawn caravan for many decades and raised six children on the road. Nancy, my wife, and I were lucky enough to see them in Settle many years ago when we were playing there, and Mick and Susie gave us two of their records. The first one, The Road Is Home, and the second one is called The Special Way, and they are both absolutely lovely collections of Mick's humorous songs, but not just humorous. Within his songwriting is contained a real social history of the life that travellers led and live in England. I just want to read you what Mike Harding, who was a great friend of Mick Darling's, said when he found out the news. It is with great sadness that I just heard of the death of Mick Darling this morning. I heard from Susie last night that he was very ill, but as always, we hope for the best. Mick was a great songwriter and singer, and in him we saw the best of the gypsy tradition of fierce independence and pride in his traditions. His songs were witty and deep and touching and amusing, and he chronicled both the joys of life and the injustice meted out to the gypsy and traveller communities. Susie was his best pal, as well as his wife, and her skill on both mandolin and melodeon complemented Mick's singing and playing perfectly. Thank you for that. And we thank all of Mick Darling's friends for the tributes that have been pouring out to him on Facebook and elsewhere. Let's hear from Mick and Susie Darling now from their album The Road Is Home. This is a really great and evocative song about packing up camp and getting back on the road. There is so much depth in this work, which sounds on the surface quite jolly, but in its lyric you can hear some of the trials and tribulations and the prejudice faced by the travelling community. So enjoy this beautiful song from Mick Darling and Susie Darling, Back on the Road.
Early in the evening when the sun sets low, all packed up and ready to go, tomorrow we'll be on the road. Ponies pull a heavy load, glad to be back on the road again. Councilmen and lawyers too, saying that it's spoiled the view. Police bailiffs just can't wait, tomorrow they have made their date. Then we'll be back on the road again. And away we'll go, without a care. Sometimes not knowing where, we'll just keep roaming, round and round, looking for another cat and crown. They say that we've been here too long, can't let this sort of thing go on. If we did, can't you see, everyone would want to be free. You better get back on the road again. We've nowhere for you to stay, so you best be on your way. We've got better things to do than argue with the likes of you. You better get back on the road again. And away we'll go, without a care. Sometimes not knowing where, we just keep roaming, round and round, looking for another camping ground. On the road again. So hurry, hurry, disappear. Better it be far than near. Your culture does not fit in now. Your ways we cannot allow. You better get back on the road again. And away we'll go, without a care. Sometimes not knowing where, we just keep roaming, round and round, looking for another. And away we'll go, without a care. Sometimes not knowing where, we just keep roaming, round and round, looking for another camping ground.
always grown wild, like you can't tame the wonder of an innocent child. In an old awesome wagon they raised their family, and you can't tame the darlings, they were born to roam free. So drive on, making sounds, you drive home from an old tent in Bradford, where they started their life, to the highways and byways, a man and his wife, to raising their beds in a wagon so fine, to the horse fairs and festivals, the Thames to the Tynes, and drive on, making sounds, you drive on. Well harassed by the police wherever they went, for the money they earned and the money they spent. But they travelled the country, lived by an ancient code, through the good times and bad times, down was the road. So drive on, making Susie, drive on. But they fought for their family, and they had songs to sing in the pubs and the courtrooms, their voices did ring, to defend ancient freedoms, for the will to provide, for the love of their people, so long cast aside. So drive on, making Susie, drive on.
Fantastic song was by Serious Sam Barrett and is called The Ballad of Mick and Susie, and you can download it now from Serious Sam Barrett's Bandcamp page. And it was written about the late, wonderful Mick Darling, who we are celebrating and remembering in this segment on Thank Goodness It's Folk. He passed away earlier this week at the age of 80. Serious Sam Barrett, that's a fantastic song, and thank you to Steve Hunt for putting me onto it. The Ballad of Mick and Susie, and this is what Sam had to say about Mick and Susie Darling. Mick and Susie Darling are travelling people who are well known and respected in the traveller community. Through telling stories of travelling life in their music, they have become an important political voice. They challenge the idea that the music of the traveller community is just an exercise in historical preservation for academics, by showing that anyone of any background can be creative. Furthermore, they provide a voice to a community that even today still struggles to be heard, let alone listen to. Thank you, Sam Barrett, Serious Sam Barrett, for that seriously good song, The Ballad of Mick and Susie. I will leave the last word in this tribute to Mick Darling himself. We heard already one of the songs from Mick and Susie. I'm going to play you another absolutely beautiful one now from Mick and Susie Darling's album, which they gave, in typical generous fashion, gave to myself and Nancy when we met them in Settle a number of years ago. The album's called The Special Way, and from that album, the beautiful and uplifting song When I Die by Mick Darling.
So green all the time, I will travel the highways and the byways of heaven, with me wife and me family of mine. When I get there, the sun will be shining, there'll be water
drink everywhere. And the coal box will never be empty. Oh, and the pantry will never be bare. When I die and I go up to heaven, where the grass is so green all the time, I will travel the highways and the byways of heaven with me wife and a family of mine. Oh, the Lord will come visiting often. He'll sit down by the fireside with me, as he has done before, but this time I'm going to see him. Oh yes, this is how it's going to be. When I die and I go up to heaven, where the grass is so green all the time, I will travel the highways and the byways of heaven with me wife and me family of mine. Oh, there's times that I wished I was there now, when I look at the world that I see. Oh, but there is still time for a small piece of heaven on this earth for you and for me. When I die and I go up to heaven, where the grass is so green all the time, I will travel the highways and the byways of heaven with me wife and me family of mine.
That was Mick Darling there. Thank you to James for that tribute to Mick Darling, and for telling us about this week's Child Ballad along with Kathy Tattersdale. So great stuff there. Great to look at Child Ballad 211. And as James isn't here for most of this week's program, let's have a song from James and from the new trio Bazooki 3 with James on lead vocals. This is Sir Patrick Spens.
Oh, the king, he sits in Dunfermline town, drinking the blood red wine. Oh, where can I get a good mariner to sail seven ships of mine? Then up and spoke a fine young man, sitting at the king's right knee. Sir Patrick Spens is the best mariner to ever sail on the sea. So the king has written a broad letter, and he signed it in his own hand. And he sent it away to Sir Patrick Spens, who was walking along the Strand. And the very first line Sir Patrick read, well, a little grin gave he. And the very next line Sir Patrick read, well, the salt shift filled his eye. Oh, who is it this deed has done and told a tale on me? For I never was a good mariner, and I never intend to be. Oh, late yestreen, I saw the new moon with the old moon in her arms. And I fear, a deadly storm, our ship will come to harm. Rise up, my merry men, all for our little ship sails in the morn. Whether it's windy or whether it's fair or whether there's a deadly storm, they hadn't
sailing a league or more, a league but barely nine, when the wind and wet and the snow and sleet came a blowing from behind. Oh, where can I get a good cabin boy to take the helm in hand, so that I might climb the topmast high and see if I can't spy land? Come down, St. Patrick's Spence, for a fear that we all must die. For in and out of the good ship's hull, the wind and the water fly. The very first step that Sir Patrick took, the salt water came to his knee. And the very last step that Sir Patrick took, they've drowned it in the sea. It's many were the vine feathered bed came a-floating on the foam. And it's many more with the little Lord sons who never, never more came home. And long, long may the ladies sit with the fans all in their hands, until they see Sir Patrick Spence come a-sailing along the strand. It's 50 miles to Aberdeen shore, 50 fathoms deep, and it's there does lie Sir Patrick Spence with the little lords at his feet.
Bazooki 3 there, with James Fagan on lead vocals with Sir Patrick Spence. Of course, Bazooki 3 is James, Benji Kirkpatrick and John Doran. They have their first full gig in Sheffield on the 11th of June. But before that, where they will be, they'll be at Upton Folk Festival in about 6 weeks' time. Benji will also be there with his mum and dad, John Kirkpatrick and Sue Harris. Let's have something from them. And this is I Wish, I Wish.
Till the apples grow on an orange tree. Now a brisk young man, oh, he caught at me, and he stole away all my liberty. He stole my heart, oh, with a free good will. And although false, yet I love him still. Now when my apron it bit high low, he caught at me all through frost and snow. But now my apron's up to my chin. Well, he passes me by, says nothing. Oh, I wish, oh, I wish that my babe was born. the green grass a growing all over me. Now there is an alehouse in yonder town where my love goes and he sits him down and he takes a strange girl along his knee. Why don't you think that it's a grief to me? A grief, a grief, and I'll tell you for why. She chose the green grass of all the bed and the flowery pillow of all the bed. And down she lay and no more words spoke, for there's just a poor girl and her heart it was broke. It's just a poor girl and her heart it was broke.
The hares fly before me, we dart across the downs. Leapers from Orion will keep from the hounds. No hunter will snare me nor drive me from my form. I'm Liddy Shears and this land is my own. In winter's low wood is where I made my home. Through the fields and the meadows I often have roamed with Brock, the drove set out to graze, serene there among them in the glow. fly before me. We dart across the downs like leapers from Orion. We'll keep from the hounds. No hunter will snare me nor drive me from my form. I'm Lady Shears and this land is my own. In winter's low wood, in my own likeness now, I lie upon the bed with one final vow. Though a bullet of silver slot deep in my heart, forever with the hares across the downs I will dart. The hares fly before me, we dart across the downs like leapers from Orion. We'll keep from the hounds. No hunter will snare me nor drive me from.
The Rosie Hood Band there with Lady Shears. We haven't played that for a long time. They'll also be at Upton Folk Festival as well as a gig in Sheffield at Yellow Arch at the end of this month. End of April. Thank you very much for listening today. Thank you to James for his feature on the Child Ballad with Cathy Tattersdale and his tribute to Mick Darling. Thank you all for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Take care, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks. Look after one another. I'll leave you with some Laura Jane Wilkie and Im Carr, who we're looking forward to seeing at the Greystones on the 17th of April. See you in a couple of weeks, folks. Look after one another.